I'm going to preach from this passage. I don't know that I ever have preached from this passage before in 1 Chronicles 29. But I'm going to use it today to preach on a subject that everybody loves. And if you're visiting today, you have picked the right day to come, because you're going to hear a message on tithing today. And I got to tell you now, I don't preach on tithing a lot. And as far as my records go, now I might mention it every now and then, but I've not preached a message on tithing in over 2 years. Now, you know, it's pastoral etiquette says you should preach on it every year, at least once a year. And I don't follow that too well. But, you know, I guess when is the good time to preach on tithing? When God tells you to. That's a good time, right? And so I want to mind the Lord today, and I want to do what He tells me to do. I'm reminded of a joke I heard about a pastor was talking to one of his church members, and he seemed to have a little bit of a problem tithing, and he said to him, if you had 100 sheep, would you give 50 to the Lord? He said, why, sure I would, Pastor. He said, if you had 50 cows, would you give half of them to the Lord? He said, why, sure I would. He said, if you had 2 pigs, would you give one of them to the Lord? He said, Pastor, that's not fair. You know how many pigs I own. We want to give the Lord what's His, right? And, the Bible tells us, and I'll get to this. Don't close your Bible, because I'm going to read some as we go. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it talks about how we're stewards, and it says in verse 2 that it is required that stewards be found faithful. We are to be faithful in all things. We are stewards, and stewardship simply means proper management of one's resources for the glory of God. One person wrote, a steward is one who has been entrusted with the resources of another. We today are stewards of the truth of God. We are to stand for the truth. We are stewards of it. We are stewards of our own testimony. We need to guard our lives and really just trust them with the Lord that we wouldn't do anything that would bring a reproach on our own testimony. We are stewards of the talent that God has given us. God has given each and every one of us a talent to be used for His glory. We are stewards of the time that He gives us. We are to use it wisely. We can waste time, and I'll be honest with you, I think wasting time is sinful. I do. You tell me, you know, you sit in front of the TV all the time, and that's not of God. Well, I'm on TV. I don't know how I got there, but we are stewards of our treasure, and that's what I want to talk about today. I put these messages off, I'll be honest with you. I do put these messages off. I tend to fuss with the Lord over preaching these messages, but you know, they are necessary. Now, I didn't say a necessary evil, I said necessary. And one thing that I've found, that if you are a tither, and certainly in a church our size, I know there's a few that may not understand the concept, but I understand with our church and the way we give, I understand there's tithers here. I know that. I mean, nobody could tell me anything different. I do know that. But I've learned over the years that when you preach on tithing, tithers can shout. Woo, preach it, preacher, you know. And now if you, you know, get uncomfortable, then, you know, you have to talk to the Lord about that, not to me, because this is a biblical concept. You know, we don't send out envelopes to your home. We don't send letters to you if we go over the books and find out that your giving's not up to par. You know, that would never happen. The truth of it is, I have no clue who gives what. And so when I stand here in this place and preach tithing, I promise you that I am not aiming my preaching shotgun at anybody. Okay, I'm preaching a message that is biblically based. And it is God's word. So we don't strong arm you to tithe. We simply preach it and teach it. And we believe that the Bible tells us that we ought to do so. Tithing very simply means if you have 10 dimes, God gets one of them. Amen. That's real easy when you got 10 dimes. Now, when you got $10,000, it's a little different. Because what the Bible teaches us, and you know, some folks will say, preacher, show me in the New Testament where it says we ought to tithe. And I would tell you, show me in the New Testament where it says we ought not to. The Bible teaches a tithe. As a matter of fact, I believe that I'm safe in saying that the Bible also would teach us that in the New Testament, we should give more than a tithe. Ouch! That hurts, don't it? But I believe that's what the New Testament teaches us. The Bible teaches us. You have the air on, brother? All right, good, because I'm burning up. And I know a few others are in here. My wife's probably cold, but I'm burning up. And you know, you think about it, we'll go to a restaurant, and if we get pretty good service, and you've heard this before, but it's true. You know, if you go to a restaurant and you get good service, my wife and I will be like, we had a wonderful waitress or a waiter, or this server's been really good. Let's tip them. And we'll go the 15%, and I might even go a little more if they went out of their way and they just kind of look poor to me, you know? I mean, I want to be nice to them if they did a good job. Why would we want to give God any less? Hey, listen, God's not in the tipping business. That's not how things run. God has set up that the church will run on the tithes of the people. Now, I'm reminded of a preacher that one time he was preaching to this church and he had just gone there and he said to the church, he said, church, if we're going to do well for God and really be effective, he said, we've got to learn to get on our knees and we've got to learn to crawl. And the congregation said, make us crawl, preacher, make us crawl. And he said, church, if we're going to be effective after we learn to crawl, we've got to learn how to walk. We've got to mature a little bit and walk for Jesus. They said, make us walk, preacher, make us walk. And he said, church, after we learn to walk and mature a little bit, we need to learn how to run. And we need to run this race with patience for Jesus. And they said, make us run, preacher, make us run. And he said, and if the church is going to run, we've got to dig down deep and pay tithes on what God's blessed us with. And they said, make us crawl, preacher, make us crawl. You see, God has designed that tithing of the fundraisers are okay. Nothing wrong with fundraisers. But God has designed that the tithe of the believer is how the church runs. Now I want to get into 1 Chronicles here. And I want to look at some things. The setup here is this is David's, you know, last days on earth. And he is concerned about building the house of God. That's his heart's desire. That's what he wanted to do. Chapter 28, God tells him, you cannot build this house. You are a man of war. And he says, so you cannot build it. But in verse 6 of chapter 28, he says, your son Solomon will build the house. So that's the setup. Now in chapter 29, David is urging the people and praying for the people and all that. And that's where I'm going to pick it up. And I got 4 points today, not three. I threw you a curveball. Number one, the first thing I want you to realize about this chapter is, David realized that everything he had came from God. Now read with me in verse 10 of 1 Chronicles 29. It says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Notice what he said there. He said the power and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Verse 12, both riches and honor come of thee. You see what David's saying there? God, anything we have comes from you. Do you believe that? Hey, I want to tell you something. Everything we have because God has blessed us to have it. Amen. Listen, we get up in the morning and do what we do and go to work and all of that because God has blessed us to see another day. He is creator and he is sustainer and he gives us the very next heartbeat that we have. You know, on a very basic level, the lordship of Christ is a necessity to being a Christian. Romans 10:9 tells us that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He's been raised from the dead, that is a basic necessity. And what that means is this. When you confess Christ as Lord, you know what you're saying? Lord, I am yours. In essence, now, hang on. You're saying you're my master. Now, you know, that's probably not popular today, but it's true. That's what you're saying. Lord, you are my master. Everything I have is yours. That's the necessity of Christianity, to confess Christ as Lord. Now, how many here, and you don't have to raise your hand, but just think about it. You experience selfishness in your toddlers, right? I mean, we see it all the time. It's mine, and you know, especially if there's two or three little ones, and one of them gets a toy, and hey, got my toy, and you know, they're geared that way. It's very easy for us to be selfish because it's in us. It really is. Now, I was thinking about a time that it's been probably 10, 11 years ago, but I was spending the day with my son. And in spending the day with my son, he wanted to go to McDonald's. And so we go to McDonald's, and he wanted he was always a chicken nugget eater. So I think I probably got him chicken nuggets and a large fry, I think is what it was. I just had a cup of coffee in that day. But we get the food, we go in, we sit down, and I'm drinking my coffee, and I'm looking at those fries. And you're like me, right? You look at those fries, you're like, man, I got to have one of those, you know? And so I go, hey, I'm going to get one of those. And when I went to get one, he's like, you know, you ever done that? You ever had your kid do that? Well, here's what I'm thinking, you know, I mean, the selfishness in me. I'm like, no, I didn't say this. I said, kid, do you understand I could just take all them fries? You know, that's what I'm thinking. Man, I'm four times big as you are. If I want them fries, I'll take it. Don't you understand? I'm the one that pulled my wallet out and paid for them. That's why you have those fries. Don't you even understand that I could go back up to that counter and buy so many fries you wouldn't be able to eat them? That's what I'm thinking. Then, you know what? As I was preparing this message, I began to think, you know, we're like that with God sometimes. God blesses us with so much, and sometimes we're like a little child would be around his fries. We put up walls. We're not giving God what God expects us to give Him. And I want to tell you something. Tithing is a principle that when you obey God in the tithe, God will bless you. Now, I'm not going to tell you. You know, I'm not a TV evangelist that's going to say, send us your money and God, and I've heard it. Set your heart on the Jaguar. You'll get one. Let me tell you, I don't believe that, but here's what I do believe. I believe that when you do what God wants you to do, God will bless you. I believe that. And the first and foremost thing we've got to realize is that everything we have comes from God. We are stewards of everything we have. Listen, He has blessed us with it. He can bless us with more, or He can take it if He wants to. That's God. So first and foremost, everything is God. Second thing David sees here, that I see that David did. David wanted, and it's in verse 1. I'm going to read 29 verse 1. David wanted his people to believe in the project that he was setting forth to him. And the project was the house of God. Note in verse 1 of chapter 29. It says, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender. And notice what he says, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for God. The work is great. Now, he's talking about the size of it, but he's also talking about the majesty of it, right? Now, get this now. David's heart desire was to build the house of God. God told him no. Now, David could have said, well, if you're not going to let me do it, then I'm not going to be involved in it. If you're not going to let me spearhead this project that my heart's desire has been since I've been a young man, then I don't think I'm going to be involved in it. I mean, you know what? I wanted to do it this way and that way, and now I can't get involved at all. God said, I cannot do the work. But listen, David didn't pout. David didn't cry about it. David didn't. And you know, some folks, Some folks think the golden rule means this. They that have the gold make the rules. See, David didn't say, I'm keeping my money in my pocket if I can't spearhead this project and do it the way I want to do it. No, he didn't do that. David believed in the work. He believed that building the house of God was of utmost importance, and that this was a work that everybody needed to believe in. Now, here's what I want to say about this. And I think you'll agree. I believe in the work of God. Just as David said there, he said, the work is great. The work of God is the greatest work that we do. Our jobs that we do, I understand. I know that, you know, you have to be there, and those are of the utmost importance to feed your family. But listen, what you do for God is what's going to stand in all of eternity. The work of God is a great work. And let me say that I believe the work of God that we do at Unity Free Will Baptist Church is a great work. The missionaries that we support, the home missionaries that we support, the children's home that we faithfully continue to support, the scholarship fund for the Bible college. These are important works that we do. Listen, they're very important. And I want to tell you, more specifically, what we do here in the church, preaching the gospel, teaching our young people in Sunday school on Wednesday night. Listen, the work of God is important. And it must continue. Unity celebrated its 50-year homecoming last September. We will be 51 years old this September. 51 years old. The work that Unity does now is just, if not more important, than it started in 1963. This work is important. This calling that we have, this truth that we proclaim, this gospel that we preach, these lives that we touch, these children that we influence. Listen, the children are being touched in these classes, these junior church classes. I'm going to tell you, they love their youth pastor. He is making an impression on their young lives. And the work that we do here is so important. But like the preacher said, it takes money to make the church run. Now, you know, we receive an offering, and I like to do this every now and then just so everybody knows. You know, we receive an offering at the beginning of the service. That's basically what we would call our tithe offering, or, you know, anything you want to give above tithes. And Sunday night, an offering. Wednesday night, an offering. Sometimes they go to special needs, the food bank, and things like that. But, you know, I want you to understand that when, the you know, we try to be the best stewards we can. We have, you know, multiple people collecting the money, two people carrying the money, two people counting the money, logging the money, recounting the money, the treasurer recounting the money. All this is checked and overchecked and looked at and gone over. We want to be the best stewards we can of the money that's given. What you give, listen, you know, this building is almost, well, it's about almost 25 years old now. Did you know that? Building's getting older. You know, there's money that has to make the church run, right? I mean, you know, God has blessed us, you know, but it takes money, you know, heating and cooling, and you know, next month we're going to do a $10,000 upgrade to our sound system. Well, last year we purchased a $54,000 van. We paid cash for it. The chairs, you know, all these equipment, landscaping equipment, snow removal, you know, all of these things, property insurance. It takes more money than you would realize to run a church. It really does. And so, you know, that's why we have quarterly meetings, and the money's gone over. Itemized lists are available if you'd like one. See, what we want to do, we want to be good stewards. We want to use the money that you put in for the glory of God, and the money you put in, I my salary's paid out of that. We have a Brunswick tax system, payroll system. They'll issue a check. Our youth pastor is paid out of it. The janitor's salary's paid out. And listen, if you know, David didn't get to build the house of God, but he didn't get mad about it, right? He got behind the project because what God wanted is what David wanted. And if I make you mad, if I preach something that steps on your toes, And as long as I'm preaching the truth and it steps on your toes, then you ain't got any beef at all with me. It's with God. And listen, if I hurt your feelings preaching the word of God or with some, you know, something we tried, maybe just starting Sunday school at a different time, and you say, well, I'm not going to pay my tithes. Listen, you're not paying those tithes to me. That money that goes in the plate is given to God's work. And so if you hold out, you're not holding out on me, you're holding out on God. Amen. That's the way it is. And when you give, you're given to God. It takes money to run the church. But I want to tell you, David wanted everybody that he was talking to in this passage. You got to read this chapter because I don't have time to really expose it like I'd like to. But David wanted everybody he was talking to understand that the work that they were getting ready to receive an offering for was important work. It was God's work. And listen, I want to tell you, I am blessed to be pastor of Unity Free Will Baptist Church. I guess this would be my dream job. And why is it my dream job? Because I'm working for the Lord and I'm working for and with people that I love. And full-time status enables me to be there for you. It enables me when you have surgery to be there for your surgeries, to visit you, to help, you know, to be there for you. That's what pastoring does. And so I appreciate the opportunity, and I love the Lord, and I love you, and I'm glad for this opportunity. And I want you to know, I'm going to say it again, I believe in the work that we're doing at Unity Free Will Baptist Church. I believe in it, and I believe it's changing lives, and we thank God for that. To God be the glory. All right, so David, he realized all that he had came from God. David wanted the people to support the cause. He believed in it, and he wanted them to. Number three, now this is important. David set the example in his giving. Now, let me read to you in verse 2 through 5. He says, now I prepared. Now listen, this is David speaking. I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, brass for things of brass, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones to be set, glittering stones, divers, different colors, all manner of precious stones, marble stones in abundance. Verse 3 says, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God. You see, let me just stop right there because that's a message. Because you know what the Bible said? Jesus said this. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. David says, my heart is on the house of God. My affection is on the work of God. What I love most is what God is doing, and I want to give to it. And so notice what he says in verse 3. He says, I have of my own proper good. What he's saying here is because I have so much affection for the house of God, out of my own treasury I gave these things. He says, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. And then he goes on to name it. And what he names is an enormous amount of money. All right. It is an enormous amount of money. Now, one of the things that you'll find throughout this chapter is the word willingly. Okay. That's important because here's what I was thinking as I'm reading this. You know, David was king. David could have said, I am going to make a law that you're going to have to give 20% of what you have to the work of the Lord because this work is so important. Now, he could have done that. I mean, isn't that what they do now? Right? I mean, they want to build a stadium. What do? They put a levy on the tax and people vote and they can call it sin tax. They can call it this. Listen, be all right with me if they keep taxing sin. That's okay. But listen, what they want to do is get money out of the blue collar guy. Out of his pocket. And that's what David could have done. He could have said, hey, we need some money, so we're going to make a law. And that law says you're going to have to give. But he didn't do that. What he did was not make a law, but he set an example. He set the example in his own life for giving. Now, this is important, okay? Because what it did, look in verse 6. Because he set the example, and because he gave so willingly, look in verse 6. Then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly. Verse 7, and gave for the service of the house of God. Then it goes on to tell what they gave. His example that he set inspired others to be givers as well. You still with me, right? I'm on tithing. Now, here's what I want to say. Now, this is hard preaching, okay? Because here's what I believe. I believe that a pastor that doesn't tithe shouldn't be pastoring. I believe that a preacher that doesn't tithe shouldn't be preaching. Hello? You want to know why? Because if you do not tithe, you cannot preach on the subject. And if you cannot preach on the subject, you cannot preach the whole Word of God. I think leaders need to set the example. Now, you know, I was thinking as I was saying that, you know, some folks can shout when you preach on tithe, and others may be uncomfortable. I assure you, I am not uncomfortable when I preach on tithing. God has called me to preach it, and God has called me to obey it, and so I have no problem preaching. I want you to understand that. And I believe that pastors ought to tithe. I believe preachers ought to tithe. I believe deacons ought to tithe. I believe trustees ought to tithe. I believe teachers ought to tithe. I believe church members. Woo! Glory! Ought to tithe. That's what I believe. You know why I believe that? Because the Bible says it. If you got a problem with it, listen, you better talk to the Lord, not to me. Well, you can talk to me too, but we'll talk to the Lord together. Listen, David set the example in his giving. And he gave abundantly and it inspired others to do the same. All right, so we've got David realized that all of that he had came from God. David wanted his people to believe in the project. David set the example in his giving. And last thing now, boy, I got through this quick. Number four, David linked a giving attitude to a heart condition. Now, I'm not talking about a bad heart. I'm talking about a right heart. Now notice this. Look in verse 5. Notice what he says. He says, "The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers." And that's the workers. "And who then is willing," notice, "willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" Now that struck me. Now, let's read verse 17. Well, I'll get to verse 17 in a minute. Verse 5. Let's stop right there for a minute. Because he said, "Who then is willing to consecrate a willing heart?" Now, that word consecrate, now let me just tell you real quick. That is used in relation to consecrating, like, for instance, in Exodus chapter 28, verse 41, the word consecrate is used. God says to Moses, "I want you to take Aaron and his sons. I want you to anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them that they may be priests unto me." The word consecrate is not talking about the giving. It is talking about the condition. He says we need to have hearts that are consecrated to God. And what he's saying here is the heart that is consecrated to God will manifest itself in its giving. You believe that? I was going to ask the blessing on the offering today, but I didn't. But here's, I had it already in my mind. I don't normally, you know, pre-think prayers, but I was thinking about this, and I was going to pray this, but I thought I'd just use it as an illustration. I was going to say, "Lord, as we prepare to receive this offering, we know that this offering reflects the priorities of our life. This offering reflects where our heart really is." You believe that? Oh yeah, it does. And if you are okay with just tipping God with a dollar, and I'll tell you, them dollars really make it around the churches. They really do. But thank God for the dollars. But if you're content with just tipping God with a dollar and listen, that's all you can do, I urge you to seek God on this, because I'm telling you, listen, David says, get your heart right. And when your heart is right, your giving's going to be right. Listen, God saves your heart, He saves your mind, and He saves your wallet. He saves all of you. And you know what else? Look in verse 17. He says, "I know also, my God, that you try the hearts." Can I tell you that David ties this consecrated attitude to a trying. God tries us. But here's what God says in Malachi 3:8. Listen to this. He says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You have all robbed me," he says, "even this nation. Then he says this, bring all your tithes and offerings into the storehouse, that there may be food in this house. Now, here's what he says in verse 10. And try me and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that there will not be room enough to contain. Stay with me now. Wake up. Listen now. God says, you try me. You tithe, he says, and see if I don't bless you in your obedience. God does not bless disobedience, right? If you're struggling, chances are you're being disobedient. And let me say something. Thank God for those folks who, let me frame it with this. I was thinking about this morning. Now, I don't own a summer home anywhere. And I don't own a winter home anywhere. Maybe that'd be an even better description. But I do know this, that if I did own one somewhere, that when I wasn't there, I would still have to pay the payment. Oh, yeah. If I buy a winter home in Florida and I come back in May, guess what? The bill's still due come June. Hello? You still got to pay. Thank God for those folks who, when they have their surgery or they have their treatments and they're home and they still are obedient to God in faithfully sending their tithes to the house of God. The church still got to run, even though you're going to be out 6 weeks or 8 weeks or 12 weeks. Oh, that's rough preaching, ain't it? It's true. You know, I visit shut-ins sometimes. You know what they do when I get there? They get out their checkbook. And I got to tell you, when I first started pastoring, there's a couple times I said, I didn't come here to get your money. Well, then I began to think about that. And I thought to myself, you know what I'm doing? I'm robbing them. Because they wanted to give a donation to the church because their pastor's coming and they know the church is still going on. And I would say, I didn't come to get your money. I still feel funny about it when somebody gives me a check. And I'll be honest with you, when somebody gives me a check, I fold it up before I ever look at it, put it in my pocket. I never look at it, I promise you. I don't want to know. But you know what? Those are folks that realize that the house of God still has to go on. It perpetuates. It keeps going. And how do we do that? We got to dig down deep. We got to learn how to give. Make the church run. That's essentially what it is. Listen, God has ordained that tithing is the way. Now, let me close with this. Let's get a song ready. This will give you, I give you time now. You can discuss this one over dinner today. All right? If you want me to come with you, just let me know. My wife and I will join you. I'll let you buy me dinner. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says, remember this. Whosoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You know what that's based on? The concept of tithing, of giving to God. God says, if you give generously, I am going to bless you generously. I challenge you to believe what God said. I challenge you to realize that when God said, try me, he said in verse 10 of Malachi 3, try me. Bring those tithes into the storehouse. That's the church. And see whether I will pour out a blessing on you. God will bless you. You say, what's he going to do? Make my checkbook, my bank account multiply? No. But you know what he will do? Now listen to me. 40 years of wilderness wandering. You know the children of Israel never had to stop by a Payless and pick up a pair of shoes? You know why? Because their sandals lasted them for 40 years. Hey, when you're obedient to God, I'm telling you, he'll make your shoes last longer. He'll make your clothes last longer. If he can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000, I tell you, a pot of chili might feed you all week. That's what God can do. So I say to you, try God and see whether or not his word is true. I know you'll find that it is. You receive it? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. We just ask you to speak to our hearts today. Pray that you'll just illuminate areas of our life where we're holding back, where we're not obedient. Father, we want to be obedient to you. You bless obedience. May we give it all to you. May we not be like Ananias and Sapphira and hold back part. May we give it all to you. Speak to our hearts today. May we be the steward of all that you've given us, because it's not ours, it's yours. May we be that steward that is faithful to you. Bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.